why we should still have a relationship, right? Like, don't use that excuse. I hope I'm a good enough parent where nobody has to use that argument where that's like, that's your default. Like, well, I don't got nothing else to say. I can't say, you know, he tried to help or he made the right decision or she did this. It is like, well, that's still your mama. Like, that's my go-to, you know, same thing. A lot of husbands don't have anything else to say. Well, you know, if you submit it, maybe if you led better. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite local neighborhood barbershop style podcast. I am Tafaris Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined my co-hosts, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, you know what to do.
Joe Nathan. Jonathan Majors is fully on trial, and we have seen the video. Finally, they released it, and that boy is a runner. He is a track star. I don't have the stamina, and I don't know how old girl that ran really, really fast in those heels. And I don't know what they call somebody who runs really, really fast in some heels, but according to Riley Freeman, that makes her
coming big coming daddy.
But that girl can run too. She ran Jonathan Majors through all five boroughs, is what I hear happen. So, in all serious though, man, they've been doing a number on Jonathan Majors. It's some really damning evidence that came out. We heard some testimony and some recordings of him calling himself a great man. And I don't like how the media is portraying him, saying that he likened himself to Obama and MLK. I think he was using those examples of their wives and how good of wives they are as to what he was saying. And when he said, I'm a great man, I mean, that's like you arguing with, you know, chick you dating and you like, I'm a good dude. I'm a great dude. Like you be happy to have me. So I didn't think a lot of that was as bad as they tried to make it out to be. Now
his personal beliefs aren't on trial.
Exactly. And again, it's a lot of those conversations are conversations that the average relationships have, especially if you got a chick that you not feeling like is up to kind of what you're looking for. I'm not saying Jonathan Majors isn't, Kevin Samuels alpha male type, yada yada yada. He very well might be, but like you said, Ferg, that's not on trial. What's on trial is, did he domestically abuse his girlfriend at the time that night? And from the evidence, from what we saw in that video, it didn't look like it. He was trying to get away. He was pushing her off. She was holding his hand. She kept coming back out. She kept chasing after him. He did his taekwondo self-defense, hi-ya, and got off of him real quick and took off. So I don't know where this is going, man, but I'm interested in seeing the rest of the trial, and I want to see what the jury kind of decides on it. But it's interesting to see everything that's happening.
That video can't be real. they didn't zoom in enough to make me believe that that's Jonathan Majors and his ex-girlfriend. Because if that's truly them, I don't even know why we're on trial. Well, there's a whole trial. Like, at a certain point, you gotta like, okay, people. But on a lighter note, when I saw the video, I watched it a couple of times. The first time I saw the video, I was just in awe. The second time and third time, maybe in the fourth time I saw the video with the commentary, the Benny Hill music, the theme song, started playing in my head. I don't know if y'all know who Benny Hill is, but it just started playing. Because, you know, it's like a bunch of, it is a perfect segue with cutaways. You know, and like, and there were just so many different camera angles. Yeah, like, it just, oh my God, so. Best of luck. I hope they get what they need out of the trial and they make a swift and just decision and everybody else can move on with their lives. Anything else for Rozzy?
Yeah, a couple other things. The Yu Yu Hakusho live action did drop on Netflix. We watched the first episode. Yeah, it is a Japanese live action remake. So if you liked the other Japanese live action remakes that they did, Bleach and My Hero Academia, what was it? Full Metal Alchemist, all of those, you'll like it. If you didn't, then you're not gonna like this one either. It is a very kind of Japanese movies. But if you like the old school kung fu movies, and if you like zombie movies, the first episode is all I've seen, you might like it. It's actually, the zombie movements, the fight scenes, the choreography are actually really, really good in it. So if you're just interested, looking for something different, there. What was it? The Train to Yuma, the one that won all the Grammys or whatever, that zombie movie that was a North Korean movie. I can't remember the name of it. Train to Busan. That's what it's called. It reminds me a lot of that. So if you like that movie, if you like something like that, you might just like the show. So it was pretty good on that. And other than that, Jodeci is, they're announced their residency. So if you liked Usher, you know that his residency is over. And so Jodeci is out there now. So go check them out, man. You might, have as much fun. I don't think they have a catalog anywhere near Usher's catalog. So I don't know how they're going to pull out a full show like that, but we'll see. Maybe they will. You think they have a catalog as large as Usher?
As large, no, but enough to put on a show. And then they're not there that long. They're like there two different dates, like in March and I think again in June or something. They're not.
Oh, it's not a full residency?
I don't even know we can call that a residency.
No, what I saw, they actually announced a full residency.
Yeah.
TMZ said they're on there for a full residency.
Saw was like two weeks, 1 month, and then 2 weeks again and another month.
The last tour during Mike's?
Yeah, New Edition and Charlie Wilson. Wilson.
Yeah, they have some good songs and they can do a concert, but let's not forget they were the opening act.
I mean, they shouldn't have been.
Really? Out of that one?
No. No, they shouldn't have been.
Who would have opened out of that lineup?
I mean, well, Charlie Wilson could have definitely cut down his set.
He definitely could have cut down his set.
He performed way too long. I think Jodeci has a certain audience that put them over or right there with New Edition over Boyz II Men and a lot of the 90s R&B groups. So I think they got enough. Women love Jodeci, bro.
Yeah, and you have Casey and JoJo's individual stuff as well. So yeah, okay.
You got to think.
New Edition, Bell Biv DeVoe, everybody had their own solo career. So you got Bobby Brown.
Okay, so I'm not an expert. What does Bell Biv DeVoe have besides Poison? I'm drawing a blank.
Poison. Oh man, I'm trying to think of a song.
Like, we're not talking about a slew of hits.
No, I'm just saying it's just two or three other songs that you can add. I was listening to the song the other day because I was like, I forget that Ricky can sing like that.
Okay, so I'm looking at the news now, Buff. They didn't give actual dates. They just start, their residency starts March 15th. And they didn't put an end date or anything on that. What you may have been thinking about in the same article that I'm looking at, Wu-Tang Clan announced their dates, and they'll be there February and then March for the Wu-Tang.
No, it was Jodeci. It just, like I say, maybe the information was incorrect that I saw, but it was like two different dates, like a couple of weeks at a time.
So BBD's hits are Poison, When Will I See You Smile Again, and Do Me, Baby.
Do Me. Okay.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, March 15th through 24th, and July 5th through 3rd. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I could see them doing that, but like, I don't see them having, a long stay. Like, I don't think they're still as relevant as an usher. You know, it's a timepiece. Like, there's some people that...
It's more like a reminiscence. Yeah, yeah, like a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, because after 99, you know, you can say 93 to 99, and they had some breaks in between.
Do a couple of Tupac songs. Yeah. How do you want it? It talks it up.
Yeah, if they got to go that... I don't even think we didn't even make it in the show. Like, we missed most of Jodeci, right, Razzy?
Was it Jodeci?
Y'all was late?
No, yeah, we all walked Jodeci in the same time.
Yeah, no, we caught the whole show.
We missed, we missed Boys to Men.
Boys to Men was not in that tour.
I'm thinking
about the different we missed Jodeci. Concert.
Yeah, we missed Jodeci.
We missed Jodeci,
Razzy. We got there a little late. We stood. You know, we had to stand to the side and sneak in line. Yeah. You know how long that line was? We're like, all right, that.
Ooh, that line was long.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it was like
I forgot about
it. Was like a TV.
Oh my!
It was like a
God.
TV show. It was like okay. I'm just. Okay, it should be. We're gonna turn this corner in the lines. Okay.
That line was ridiculous.
Then we're gonna turn this corner and the line's gonna be we just like, okay, we're gonna have to go straight, hood. So I think we started walking on the inside, and I think I did the stop and tie my shoe and like hold on for a sec. And then, you know, got on the phone, gave us about 25 to 32 seconds and let the line move up and then jump back in or jump in. But it appeared that we were jumping back in. And that probably saved us 20, 30 minutes. But
yeah, that I don't know.
Oh man, I forgot all about that line, bro.
Oh, let's keep the party going. We ain't even got to you yet, Buff.
Yeah, go ahead, Buff. My bad.
That's it. Yeah, one more thing, didn't you or no?
Oh, Tesla recalled all the cars, like every last one of them. But that's it.
Yeah, leave the world behind. Didn't like that movie, by the way. Sorry, Obama. So, speaking of Jodeci and music and stuff like that, I just want to give a shout out to musicians. Just like local musicians that, you know, play in your local lounges and clubs and things like that. Tab and I went out to 219 last week. It's a restaurant here in the area. And we just really, like, they really helped the vibe and everything. Just it was very dope. It was a very good band. I wish I could remember the name of the band, but I just really appreciated them. I just like local musicians because I'm sure everybody has that dream of making it big, but everything has levels, man, and they definitely have their place where people enjoy them. It's one of the reasons why I like the show Treme, another David Simon show who also made The Wire. But besides Treme focusing on the aftermath of Katrina in New Orleans, it focused a lot on the musicians that were there. So I just think that's dope. I just want to give them a shout out. So that's really all I got. Other than I just want to remind listeners, hey, before we started recording, we was talking about this float. We're going to be on Skinny Monday, Mardi Gras Mobile. If you're wearing some Three Brothers merch, guess who we going to be aiming for? All right, so get you some merch, get you a hoodie, shirt, hat, something, so we can see you and make sure that you get some of our best throws that we have on the float. So threebrothersnosense.com, visit. All the merch is like affordably priced. Just get it, man, because we really just use it just to get name recognition. We're not even really looking for profit off that. We just want to spread the word of Three Brothers No Sense. So get you some merch as soon as you can, because we'll be down there. That's all I got, man.
Do you remember New York Undercover and how the artists became like a big part of New York Undercover when they went to the restaurant or whatever that was? Like they had a different person every time. Yeah. Like we need a show like that that just like has a cameo type thing at every show. That was just dope.
We had Patti LaBelle's show Out All Night that lasted like a season with Vivica Fox and Dwayne Martin, and that was like a big part. Like, yo, who's gonna be performing at the club?
The closest thing you got was Chappelle when he used to have different artists. But no, I wish that's what I thought adulthood was gonna be like. You go out to a local nightclub, and I think the times changed, because I remember late 90s, early 2000s Tallahassee, FAMU. It's a lot of little live band. Shout out to Concept, Rashada Dewan, The Butterfly, and those cats. That's when things were just rocking. But music was different then, you know? What people appreciated. That time period slash generation was one generation removed from listening to jazz albums and things, you know? Think about, you know, the Cosby Show and stuff, where they would go put up, they would go buy this album and put it on. Just, you know, my dad had, I'm pretty sure all our parents had those, that record collection and stuff like that. So we were one generation removed from live music and quote unquote real music. And now we're here today. But no, that was super dope, man. So we need to find a live band, a live club to go to while we're in Mobile. Some good artists. Hopefully, I know Port City has some really good local artists. So if
it'll be Mardi Gras too, so
let us know.
Shout out Canary Lounge. They do a lot there. Mm-hmm. They do some live and Cazulas. So both of those, they do a lot of Flavors. They bring in artists all the time, but I think Cazulas has the most artists that kind of rotate through. So if you guys are listening, okay, go check out some of those spots.
All righty. Also, indefinite suspension for
Draymond. Yeah,
Draymond Green is still just Draymond. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that guy now. So I hope he gets help. I don't want to rag on him or talk about him too long, but I hope he gets help, and I hope his team recovers or they figure out what needs to be done, because it just seems like there's a lot going on. I've heard different opinions about it. Gilbert Arenas on Club Shay Shay had a very unique opinion about him that I hadn't considered before, and you know, but everybody has opinion on everything. So
what was the opinion?
He was more so, because you know, Gilbert Arenas had his own little, you know, run in. He used to be one of the NBA bad guys.
Bang bang.
Yeah.
I shot you down.
Yeah. Agent Zero. So he was saying that you take the good with the bad. If they want him to be the bruiser, they want him to be the enforcer, the heartbeat of the team, that's part of it that comes with it. Because once he softens, or you take away that passion that makes him the heartbeat, you lose a part of him. He said, I remember when he said he tried to get his life together, eliminate with Agent Zero, and then it was gone for a while. And then I think when he was playing for the Lakers, I want to say, and they were saying, we need Agent Zero back. So that guy doesn't exist anymore. Like, I can't bring him back. Like, we almost like deleted this player. We deleted this character. And he's saying that, like, once you take that and you take that passion, or you teach him how to deal with those issues or whatever, he's not that same person. So if you want him to be Draymond, the person who's going to be get down and dirty and be the heartbeat of the team, you take the good with the bad. And the bad comes usually a lot when you're losing. You know, like, you got to think they're having a horrible season. And so it's, you know, it was an interesting take on it, because he's like, he doesn't, if you want him to change, then you don't want him. Yeah. The things that make him who he is and that he brings to the team, you know, that's what made, you know, Rodman was a wild man. Rodman didn't care about getting down and dirty. That's who he was. And so when you try to put a cap on him, he's not going to be Rodman anymore. You know, it's like when you domesticate somebody. So if that's what you like about him. I think that's about it for now. I'll save a lot of my stuff for the end, so we can jump into the show. Rizzy, is Sophie available?
She is. Let's see if she actually got her joke together before. I told her before we started, but we'll see.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Greetings, Sophia. How goes it?
Greetings.
How's your day been? Salutations to you as well. Happy Hanukkah.
Talking over.
Cookie.
Are you kidding at all?
Happy Hanukkah.
Huh?
Happy Hanukkah.
It might be broken.
Happy Hanukkah. I took both of the headphones.
All right, so Daddy can't hear now.
Okay, so we can talk all we want about Daddy now.
Yeah, he can't hear you. He can talk all you want. Like, he can't hear. Edit the videos.
Yeah. Just start laughing and say he's not going to like that, but it's funny, and see what he says.
He's not going to like that. That's hilarious.
Look at his face.
You would understand.
All right, so yeah, he wouldn't get it over his head, right?
Look right over his head.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I have a
hope he
joke.
Doesn't hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready for your joke. I have an answer.
Right. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, but summer wasn't too bad either.
I was gonna ask how it was the spring.
That was good.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you're not gonna like what you heard here.
Whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
And congrats for making the newspaper.
Oh yeah.
I did do that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Artiste.
I drew a picture of the Grinch and then half Santa. Very cool.
Yes, I saw that.
That was dope. A holiday two-face.
Yeah, for sure.
Holidays. Holidays.
All right. Get out of here.
Go somewhere. He didn't mean to get out of here.
Love ya.
Happy holidays.
Did she do that for the school?
Yeah, just in art class. And they picked, so it was like 3 or 4 pages of art. And so she just randomly, that's what she wanted to draw. And then they picked, I think there was like 4 kids from her elementary school that ended up in the paper, and she was just one of them.
Yeah, I'm like, did you submit her artwork?
Yeah. Mm-mm. So I don't know if they just went on Artsonia and looked or whatever.
All righty. Well, it's that time of the show, you know, it's question time. So for any of our first time listeners, what happens is this barbershop style podcast. Three brothers, no sense. When you hear the questions, we hear the questions. So our goal, because we can't even say this is what we do anymore, is for each brother to present the brotherhood with questions. And we come straight from the dome and just give our thoughts and opinions. And some might change, and we debate and try to figure out what we're going to do moving forward. So I love to hear my brother's insights.
We literally got to one question last week.
Speaking of, so I want to start with that since you got your question last week, Buff. And my question is actually piggybacking off your question. So for the listeners who might have checked out last week's show, Byron asked us to go over our proposals, right? When we proposed to our wives. And each one of us had different proposals. And then he went a little further asking, did we ask for, you know, the parents' permissions or, you know, their blessings. And we talked about going and looking at the rings and all these things. And it led to a lot of conversations outside of the show about you know, asking for permission and how you're supposed to do things. And I use that word very loosely, supposed to do things. So thinking about gestures such as asking for permission or going to see the ring or doing things along that line, what are your thoughts on what I like to call ceremonial gestures? Where do you guys stand on those things? I think, so a couple of examples, like I said, would be the asking for the hand in marriage. You know, sometimes we hear respecting your elders or respecting your parents. You know, they use biblical verses and all these things, you know, women submit to men, you know, your husband and all this stuff. I like to call all those things ceremonial gestures. Like, it's just, this is what somebody said, you're supposed to do this. Sometimes it's the Bible, and that's how you're supposed to go about doing it. You know, honor thy mother and thy father, respect your elders, you know, submit to your husband. You ask for this, your wife's hand in marriage, all these things. Do you think these things still, how do you feel about them? And do they have still have a place in our society today? And are there a few that you can say can kick rocks, or, you know, I just want to kind of spitball with you guys.
I think a lot of them do still have a place. Like some of the examples you gave, respect your elders. You want to respect your elders. Asking your wife's hand in marriage. Now that one has become more and more of a debate, especially as we've at times jokingly asked the ladies what they ever proposed to their man. And that creates a whole dynamic of answers from the women. So that one can be debated, but I think overall there's still a place for a lot of them. And then some of them, they either need to be tweaked a little bit or totally gotten rid of.
And so I agree with you, and I want to take it a little deeper and maybe your answer will change. I think the premise for these are all great, but I think sometimes we blindly follow them and they're misused. So like, you might have, let's say, a coworker. You're 42 years old. Your coworker might be 65, and he feels like because he's 65 that you should respect him, and he doesn't have to talk to you the same way that, you know, he's not your peer. Like, you should just respect him because of his age. And I feel like we see that a lot, especially in our community. Even with parents, you know, I've seen it firsthand where people like, well, that's your mom, we got to respect her. You know, like, no, she didn't raise me. She was a horrible parent. Like, she mistreated, like, it doesn't matter what they do. It's, we fall back on, hey, this is what I was taught. And so no matter what this person did or does, you still have to give this, follow these ceremonial gestures, even if they don't hold true for this person, or that person isn't even, and maybe not deserve it.
Well, yeah, there's always exceptions. I mean, I definitely was thinking about mostly family members, but even in general, I still think you should respect your elders to an extent. And like, even with family, I think, at least I've experienced with some of the elders in my family, it's almost seemingly as though it's hard for them to make that transition of looking at you as the kid they always knew versus when you've grown into an adult with your own marriage and your own family. And it seems like they kind of battle, you know, transitioning to, hey, you can't really tell me what to do like you used to. I personally have experienced some family members where it's like, I mean, no. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? So to an extent, and I think it's always exceptions. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of people, especially with that respecting your elders or respecting your parents or whatever, their definition of respect is skewed. Respect doesn't mean I have to do what you say, like you're saying, right, Buff? It's like, right, I need to hear you out. Yes, I respect your opinion. I will take that in consideration. I will talk to you respectfully. But that doesn't mean I'm going to do what you told me to do. I had to have that conversation with my mom a couple of times when she was like, you're disrespecting me. I was like, I'm not disrespecting you because I choose to do something different. Like you said, I'm a grown ass man. And so I'm going to do what I think I need to do. And so just because you think I should do it that way doesn't mean that I'm disrespecting you because I choose to do it a different way, or I choose to go a different route. And I think that's the issue. So when you talk about that underlying, yes, from a base standard, you should respect them, but we have to define what respect really means. But when you talk about the, like those ceremonial, you want to throw in Ferg or?
No.
Oh, okay. When you talk about those ceremonial gestures, I think there definitely is a place for ceremonial gestures. We think about the military, right? Like we have so many ceremonies that we go through. You go through a dining in, it's very scripted. You have specific toasts that you have to do, right? You got to do the toast for the fallen soldier and all of that. And I think those ceremonies add to your traditions and the culture and so that everybody kind of knows that, right? The bruhs, like you only facing what other men have met type thing. And it's like, we do these ceremonies so that we can say, I went through these things or I did these things just like my ancestors and just like the folks that came before me. I think that is where it really makes sense for those ceremonial gestures to happen. What I don't believe in and what, like you said, tweaking, I do think some of them need tweaking to go with the times, right? Like some of those ceremonies were built when we always talk about like the women weren't seen as equals, right? And so if you want to stick to the ceremonies that were when women weren't equal, that doesn't make sense for these times and these days, right? And I think that's really what we got to look at is, does it still make sense to do those ceremonies, have those ceremonies? Does it make sense to go through those ceremonial gestures when, you know, we're not even in that type of area? I liken it. I've been to a couple of Nigerian weddings and they have that ceremony of the husband and the dad bartering over the dowry and all of that. And they go through this ceremony and they talk about, I'll give you two cows and this, that, and the other. And it's like, you ain't giving no cow. You're not giving no chicken. We know that's not happening, but they still do it from that ceremonial standpoint. Like, does that make sense? And so I think you just have to kind of make sure that it aligns with the times and it evolves with the times as well. And you're not so stoic and stagnant in the ceremonial gesture that you don't kind of keep evolving with it and it holds you back. So it's going to be a ceremony by ceremony, gesture by gesture decision on it. But ultimately, I do think they're good for us in our history and that feeling like we're part of society.
Wives, obey your husbands. That's what's in the Bible, right?
Yeah. And so that was one I was actually about to open up with that. So I agree with you, what you fellas said when it comes to there's a place and, you know, there's some good ones in there. And theoretically, you know, yeah, rock with it. The ones that are misused, misguided, even if you haven't even earned these, you know, probably 90% of the husband, 90, if not even more, 95, that is their argument. That they might even say it to the wife, but in the back of their mind, that's what they're thinking. And if their wife isn't doing this, then she's a bad wife. You're not even considering your part in this, right? It's well, wives obey your husbands or submit to your husband. And women don't like the word submit and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, dude, but you're a piece of trash. Like, you know, like you know, and I'm not saying she shouldn't, because that's a whole nother conversation. We've talked about that before. What I'm saying is, what's your part in this? So honor thy mother and their father. Yeah, you should, you know, especially if you have good parents. And like you said, you have those conversations with your mom. I'm at least you're around to have this conversation to try to give me some guidance or ask me to do something. But there's a lot of parents that are completely estranged from their kids. But then you still have family members telling them, well, that's still your daddy. You know, it's like, yeah, but my dad just is abusive, or my dad beat up his wife, or, you know, call my sister out of her name, like whatever those things are. And I've heard these things firsthand, or been close enough to these situations. And it seems like there's a generation that falls back on this. Well, Byron, that's still your daddy. You know, mm-hmm. You know, be thankful you got one. Like, yeah, thank you. appreciate the sperm, Rue. But at the end of the day, it's at what point do we, why do I have to be the bigger man? And I never want anybody using that for my kids to rationalize why we should still have a relationship. Right? Like, don't use that excuse. I hope I'm a good enough parent where nobody has to use that argument where that's like, that's your default. Like, well, I don't got nothing else to say. I can't say, you know, he tried to help or he made the right decision or she did this. It is like, well, that's still your mama. Like, that's my go-to. You know, same thing. A lot of husbands don't have anything else to say. Well, you know, if you submit it, maybe if you led better. You know, these things. Respect your elders. Brazzy, you were talking about the bruhs. We have this thing called protocol. And I'm pretty sure you've seen a bunch of older bruhs use that to their advantage and try to manipulate, you know, situations to their advantage. And it's like, look here, you know, bruh, like, due respect. Like, we're not going to do that. Or I'm not going to do that. Or don't talk to me this way. Like, we're adults here. It's like, yeah. We can have intelligent conversations. If the ceremonial gesture is the only way you can navigate something to your benefit, then is it worth it? You know, we talked about going back to the original one, asking that father for a hand in marriage. Is that just something you do because, once again, he donated sperm? Has he been the father? Has he had a relationship with you and her and help raise the woman that you fell in love with, right? Does through her, the interaction that made you become the woman, you know, her become the woman that you want to marry, did she speak about him strongly enough that it was a no-brainer, right? I feel like the three of us on here, you know, we all went about proposing differently, but I think the way we are as fathers, I think the women, our girls, like, that's going to be a must for them. Not because we say so, but because how we act as fathers and bring ourselves to the table. I asked my 8-year-old daughter that. She's like, yeah. Like, yeah, he has to ask you. But you better say yes, but yes, he has to ask you, right? Like, our daughters know this because of how present we are. So if they didn't ask us, does that say more about that young man? Does that say more about me? Or am I just in my feelings because, and it might not happen, you know, it might not, things change, but that's really different. You know, like, does he owe me that? Did I owe somebody that if they didn't check all those boxes?
Yeah.
With that, unless y'all have something to say on that.
I just want to add, like, we talk about ceremonial justice and we're talking about a lot of the more traditions than ceremonial gestures. And so I think of a lot of those ceremonial gestures of like flowers on Thanksgiving and those types of things where people don't even have, it's just because society has told me that I got to give you flowers on Thanksgiving or whatever. And then that's what you do. Diamonds, right? Buff, you're super anti-diamond, right? You got to give a diamond because society tells you that. I look at that as like a ceremonial gesture of, this is the ring that I have to give you because that's what society told me to do. We're talking about
the ring, the cost of the ring.
Yeah.
So I call all those ceremonial gestures, traditions, whatever. It's like you do it. It's like it's pageantry to it. Like it's like I'm supposed to do this. You know, like if I don't do this, well, people are going to ask the same thing. Well, girl, the day after Christmas, what'd you get for Christmas? Valentine's, what'd he get you for Valentine's? What y'all do for Valentine's? These are serious. If you have a great relationship like Byron, you open the show talking about you and Tabitha went out on a date. You had a date night. You had a nice look. You date your wife consistently, right? I admire how much energy you put into making sure she feels like she's still wanted by you. But if you fail freaking a Valentine's, people are going to look at you like you're a deadbeat, right? Like. Yeah. And for you, I don't know how big Valentine's is for you, but
especially if you're a lady working in an office.
Yeah, it's those things. It's guys out here who are trash 360 days a year. I don't know what, put all the big holidays that you're supposed to spend money, anniversary, Christmas, things, you know, Valentine's, all those things. 360 something days a year. But those good days, the big ticket item days, they do right.
Mm-hmm.
The ceremonial gestures, right? It's If I do good 362 days a year, but I'm not, we're not big into Valentine's. We're not big into like buying and exchanging gifts for Christmas. Rizzy, I think you and Jim were like that. Y'all weren't really big into that. Like, you know.
Yeah. Like, we specifically would not go out on Thanksgiving or on Valentine's Day. It was like, we don't. We didn't want to deal with the traffic and all that stuff. Y'all
talking about Valentine's Day when you kept saying flowers on Thanksgiving.
Oh, did I? Valentine's Day. Yeah.
So, I'm like, maybe that's an Italian thing I'm not aware of. You know, Christopher Columbus. You know, he's Italian. Yeah, you know.
We bring countries and smallpox.
Yes.
Oh man,
That's my thing is, so when I say ceremonial gestures, I like, there's a lot of things we do just because, and we leverage those things. You can prove that you show that you love this person 365 days a year or 362 days a year. And because you don't show this ceremonial gesture, this token of love and appreciation on this one day. You know, I joke with Z all the time. Like, you know, people's like, so what are you gonna do for your anniversary? Like, it's her anniversary. Like, you know, we both got married that day, right? Like, we both got married. Like, it's not your anniversary, it's our anniversary. But the gesture is we're supposed to wine and dine them for our anniversary. Right?
No. I want something too.
You know, but the thing about it is like you have to be it might be the 80-20, but you have to pick the restaurant. You have to set up the date. You know, you do all this so you can get your gift. You know, if she plans the anniversary, like, so babe, just put on something nice when you get home from work and she took you out and, you know, whatever you wanted to do. People like, see, that's what's wrong with men now. Women out here planning anniversary dates and all this stuff's like,
I can definitely hear that.
Valentine's? Valentine's is like, it's a token of our love, right? It's not, you know, you have to, we're supposed to supposedly show I love you just as much as you love me. And we've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to leave it at this. And a gift.
Right.
You know, what'd you get for Thanksgiving? In Rizzy's words. You know, what'd you get for Christmas or Valentine's or your birthday or anniversary? You know, not a gift. Who's up next?
I think it's on me, man. And if you guys don't remember, I tipped my hand and I wanted to talk about it because so often we don't celebrate ourselves. We don't talk about the good things that happen to us and the good things that we do and that we're the things that we are proud of in our life and everything. And so I just want to ask you, brothers, you know, give yourself some flowers, shout yourself out, and tell us and the listeners just kind of one or two things that you were like proud of that you've done, like proud of yourself for doing throughout your life, your accomplishments or whatever, and why, you know, that you're kind of proud of that.
Hard life for this year.
Just through your life.
Oh, through your life.
Yeah, okay. It didn't have to be necessarily this year.
Okay.
So we can shrink it down to this year if you just want to say that. But I do. I think I want to say lifelong. What's kind of those super high moments? You know, the low hanging fruit, we'll take that out, right? Like marrying your wife and your kid and stuff. Like we know you're proud of those things. Like just like a milestone accomplishment, something that you feel like I did that.
Damn, you took out that. I mean, were you going to hit on that, Byron?
Nah. I feel like I have one answer. I feel like we must have done a version of this question before because I feel like I've said this before, but I feel like we always get new listeners, so why not say it again? One of the things that I am proud of is just the home that I've provided my family. That's okay, Rizzy?
Yeah.
It's not marriage. and the reason why I'm proud of it is because of how small I thought just 20 years ago, or maybe a little over 20 years ago, when I was still living in Mobile. See, you know, listeners, you can shake your head at this. I shake my head at it now. But for me, I felt like I was going to be content just living in a nice apartment, working, you know, some job that paid decent car, And that was it. And to see what I've been blessed with now and to have a home, because my dream is always to downsize once I retire, and to have a home so nice that my daughter's like, what? No, like, I love this house. I want to always be able to come back to it. Like, that was like, when I got this place, they were, it had them in mind. Like, I wanted to know, where would I want to raise, you know, my daughter, who was 2 at the time. You know, like, where is she, what house is she going to grow up in? And for her to really just appreciate this neighborhood and just the life we have here, I'm very proud of it, because I may have said this story before too, but I had a job in Mobile working coastal installation. And coastal installation, you install fireplaces in newly built homes. So once the home got to a certain part and the carpenters had already laid out the frame for the fireplace, we come in, we put the fireplace in, we level it, and then we run the pipe all the way up through the roof. Sometimes we had a chimney, through the chimney, and would cap it. And we would like work with this galvanized sheet metal, come home with cuts on my hands like literally every day. So when I go to wash my hands and sanitize, you knew exactly where every cut was. And I just remember sitting on that roof in an Alabama summer talking to my friend Rock. And I was like, man, I said, man, I'm tired of working on houses that I'll never be able to afford. And like, I surpassed that. Whatever house I was sitting on that day, I've surpassed that house. And so that's one of the blessings and things that I'm really proud of, because I never saw that for myself. So that's one. I'll try to think of another one while Ferg answers.
Cool. That's super dope. Mine is probably going to be vague, and I hope you accept my answer then. I think
Let's see. Yeah.
I think I'm proud of who I've become. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm, you know, we joke about it all the time. Might be the least favorite on the show, because I do have my opinions, and a lot of times they are unpopular. But at my heart of hearts, I really try to be a good person. Like, I really feel like my goal in life is to help people. And I want to be somebody that, you know, my kids, my wife can look at and say, that's a good man. Financially, you know, knowing where I come from, and, you know, I've been blessed with having a bunch of loving people around me, but there were sometimes limitations of what they can teach me. And so to be able to not learn and everything on my own, but being able to pull from my own knowledge, experiences, others around me, having you two brothers to bounce things off of, even learning from this show, and that I'm somebody that, like I said, my kids and my wife look up to. You know, Z tells me how proud she is of me quite often, and I just, you know, that's huge. But then even, I guess, to piggyback off of that is to now be a person that there's parents that say, hey, I want you to lead my son. Like, I want you to be a part of a program. I want to put my son in this program that is connected to you. I know you're not perfect, but I know you're going to do your best to help my son. And if he can learn anything from you, you know, I've had a parent or two basically say that their sons are in this program because of me. They watch from afar and they can see, you know, my wife and my kids and how I maneuver and how the people around me respect, you know, there's a certain level of respect that they have for me, the way I carry myself. And, you know, there's like, those are things my son needs to see constantly. And that's a lot, you know, because sometimes you don't, you know, I was really big at not paying attention that other people were paying attention to me. My siblings have come to me and said, told me that they look up to me and I was their role model. And I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that so, that's the biggest thing is to be proud of is you are a role model. Like that, you, when you talk about the person you became and everything, that like being a role model, because everybody's not, right? Like it, even if me, Byron, probably role models they people can look to, but you actively go out in the community and play that role of a role model, right? Like with the Lamplighters and mentoring and that type of thing. It's a big difference of being a role model behind closed doors or just in your normal life and actively mentoring and you know, providing that, showcasing that every day, every week, you know, and everything. So it's huge, bro, what you do and everything. Cause I almost was like, nope, you know, the man you became, that's not good enough. But then when you kind of transitioned into the role model, that's the accomplishment of it. But you know, growing into the man you've become is an accomplishment in itself, just like from where we came from.
I just never thought and it sounds braggadocious. I just thought I was gonna be like the average dude, you know, like there's an average dude and there's nothing wrong with being average, but it's just like Byron said, that's what I thought my life was gonna be. We always, you know, always wanted to be a doctor and stuff like that, and I know that was the goal, but how many people want to be doctors and stuff like that? And when the further and further that seemed like it was gonna that goal didn't seem like it was gonna happen, there was a big part of me that was scared of who I was going to be, because, you know, I was anti-marriage. I wasn't trying to have kids. I had I was a late bloomer when it came to my career and financial stuff. So like I was really, you know, a couple of months away from just saying, you know what, let me accept this path that apparently, you know, average is average for a reason. This is what most people live like, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I should just be happy that, you know, I can at least be average, because there's a lot of people that are below average, you know? So yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
You got another one, Buff?
Yeah. I didn't know if Rising wanted to go with one of his, or you wanted me to do my second one.
Yeah, I can. So it was hard for me because I wanted to talk about the family, talk about that and everything. And that's why I said, let's get the low hanging fruit out of the way, right? We are proud of that. And so one of mine was, I'm super proud of the time I spent in the military and my deployments, and especially my Iraqi deployment, where I went in and we helped a lot of people. A lot of times when you're in the military, you go in and it's bang, bang, shoot them up, kill them, you know, blow things up and everything. And that's what we were really trained to do. And going in as a civil affairs officer and having to do that non-traditional warfare and use money and throw it around. But I feel like I came away, even though, you know, we talk about that war being, or both wars really just kind of being fruitless. I feel like I made people's lives better, at least while I was there. Right. I talk about how I built a school. We talk about the micro grants we gave. We talk about the beekeeping. We gave jobs to a bunch of women. I helped with their banking system. We doubled the private investment or private deposits in their private banking industry while I was there, in my province at least. So it was a lot that I was able to accomplish in a 1 year period. And so I, you know, going talking with Santion when I went to her thing and us just kind of reminiscing about all the stuff we did while we were there, it just really got me to thinking like, man, we did some good work. We really did some good work. And so that was kind of cool to be able to walk away and just feel proud of the stuff that we were able to accomplish and do there in that 1 year period and not feel like I went over there and I killed a bunch of people and then I came home and the Taliban took right back over from in Afghanistan and you know, that type of thing. So I'm really proud of that one. And I'll just go, the other one is a little bit about the family, and it really is just, I'm proud of the single dad that I am. I mean, I was at the school the other day and like the teacher We were showing her pictures of the Halloween shoots that we do. Sophie was like, show them the pictures. And so, you know, I was just going through that with her teacher at a little breakfast that we had. And the teacher was just like, you're such a cool dad. And like, you're always there. You're always here. We all know you. And so I'm really proud of the job that I'm doing. And I want to say that out loud and kind of say, yes, I'm happy with that, right? I'll toot my own horn a little bit.
Put your horn toot in there for me, bro. But no, I will say definitely, I was talking about you recently, and I use you a lot when I reference that, you know, and societal expectations of what men and women can do. And just, I talk about all the things that you've done. And of course we, you know, you probably get pushback that women have been doing this since the beginning of time, and a lot of them have. So I'm not even, that's not the debate I'm here for, but for you, for Rizzio Mancarella Jr., you know, like, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I'm beyond proud of you. You've exceeded, which is hard because you've exceeded so many of my expectations, and I have so much faith in you that it's hard for you to exceed my expectations because my expectations are so high for you. But man, you're doing a damn good job, man. Keep it up. And I applaud you for even taking with the military. I recognize that I compartmentalized that, a lot of parts of that, for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even outside of compartmentalizing it, I downplay the things that we've done. Yep. Like when we describe what we did over there, and you know, just our mission was life, limb, or eyesight. You know, that was what you were doing. I mean,
we saved a lot of lives while we were there. Yeah,
I mean, save lives, change lives, and then the beauty of it is, similar to what you were saying, is you, it wasn't a shoot 'em up bang bang thing. It was what I liked about the medical field, or what was supposed to be about the medical field, is you didn't choose sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my mission is to save lives and improve lives, and I'll let the powers that be decide the rest. And that's what I think at the end of the day, despite everything, and when I do have my moments and think about it, I can always say that, you, like, at the end of the day, it was still, I treated everybody fairly and equally. You know, I treated all lives equally. Can't believe I'm saying this on air.
All lives matter.
But in that situation, you know, all lives matter when they're on a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to have to pick and choose, even though we had to. Right. That's the, that's where the PTSD comes in, you know, triaging. But I'm going to give everybody the same amount of attention once they get selected and they're on that bed and it's my time to do my work. So,
yep.
Byron, what's your last one?
Your
sneaker collection?
That's pretty cool. I lost both parents relatively early, both in their 60s, but I'm proud that in the relative short amount of time I had with them, I made both of them proud. You know, my dad told me he was proud, but especially my mom. My mom's opinion mattered more than anyone to me. Because like I say, you know, I do feel like at times, even though she never like explicitly verbally said it, I feel like at times I was trending towards that slight disappointment for her. You know, when I was just like, when I mentioned I was working at Coastal Insulation or working at Sears, Teledirect and little jobs like that. And it's like, okay, you're 19, you're 20. You're 21, like, you're not doing anything with the little bitty college degree you do have. What's the move? So I feel like I was trending in that way. And I, you know, moving up here really turned it around for me. And it just went from me feeling like I was trending that way to she couldn't tell enough people where I worked. She couldn't show enough people that picture of me and Obama. You know what I mean? It just... You know, she got a chance. Because, see, my dad, he never made it up here. to visit me in DC. So he never saw my home in person and things like that. But she saw it. She stayed here. This was like her second home, as a matter of fact. She came here so much. So she saw it and she was really proud of me. So I was very happy that I was able to change it because, you know, it was looking like a, yeah, hey, Hazel, what's your son do? He just, whatever job I would have had at the time, he just does that. He live out there in Twin Oaks, you know, yeah. Versus what it wound up being. Oh, girl, he up there at the Capitol building. And you know, that was him walking with President Obama. Mama, not Secret Service. That was not me. All right? You know what I'm saying? So,
just so you know, she definitely told a lot of people you worked at the White House at some point in her life. Yeah. Because probably that first year, I think it's the White House.
They're both white.
You've been Secret Service. Bro, you've been Secret Service. You've been everything.
Bro, I stopped fighting. When I come home sometime, I'm like, oh, did my little nephew here that I told you work at the White House? Oh, I don't even correct it no more. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm up there at the White House. Yeah. It's white.
No, man. Talk about that, though. Really, you are one of those folks that, like, yeah, I got a homeboy that works at the Capitol building. Like, I throw you into a lot of conversations just based on that. I just want you to know proud to be associated with you. Yeah,
we're definitely coming. I've used you a lot recently as we're planning our trip to D.C. for our lamplighter trip.
Right, yeah, right,
I have a homeboy. I'm one of my podcasts, a close friend, known about 30-something years. Give the whole back history. Yeah, he works at he's a Capital City police officer, you know. Then depends on how froggy I feel, you know. I'm telling you, remember January 6th and all that stuff, the people that, yeah, he was one of those guys. You know,
so. Yeah, man.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Man, people like that so the little HBO thing I was in, I'm in it for like 2 minutes. People take things and stretch it. I got people at work like, hey man, you starred in the HBO. I didn't star in anything.
Bruh, curve.
I'm in it for 2 weeks. I mean, 2 minutes, I mean. So my nickname is like HBO Evans. It's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. Now you're HBO Evans.
Yeah.
Man, people take stuff and run with it, though. It's crazy.
Nah, man.
But yeah, that's what I'm proud of, bro.
All right. Do we have time for another one? Need to wrap it up, Razzy.
Nah, I think we're pretty much done. We have 103 now.
Okay.
We got two good questions.
Let's go ahead and close it out, fellas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Man, all I really got is sneaker ball. We talked about at the opening of the show that we're going to be on a float. And so now we'll talk about how we're going to be at the sneaker ball that Friday before Fat Tuesday. Y'all come out. The VIP is already sold out. So we got our tickets. We're going to be there in VIP. So y'all can come. If you ain't bought your ticket already, go get the tickets to general admission. And you can still come party with us, but make sure you go out, get your tickets if you haven't gotten your tickets, because it is going to be a time. It was a time last year, it was a time before that. It's going to be time again this year. So make sure you come kick it with us there, and then try to recuperate by Skinny Monday so then you can actually watch us on the float and scream Three Brothers No Sense and be like, Byron, because he's everybody's favorite. So they're going to call for him to throw stuff to him. So
that's cap. You are.
No. So, but that's all I got, man. Just make sure everybody come out. Inspire You On Air, the new Beat of the Bay. Make sure y'all download those apps. Check us out, Contentville. What up to y'all? And make sure you check us out. If you aren't listening on Contentville, hit us up on any podcasting platform and share with your friends, because we want to grow this thing even more. We're going into our fifth year We've already finished 4 years at this thing. So we're growing. We're continuing to grow. And the only way we're going to do that is if you guys share and tell folks about us. So do that.
I just want to echo everything you just said. And also, if you see us at the Sneaker Ball, or if you're at the Sneaker Ball, make sure y'all come and say what's up. Come holler at us. We love interacting with anybody that listens to the show. Hey, tell us how you disagree with some of the things we said. I mean, we like that too.
Don't do that. I don't got time to talk to y'all all day.
I had that Johnny Walker Blue last year. I think I'm going to do McAllen 15 this year. We'll see.
We're going to have some McAllen? Okay.
Me and Tabitha's.
You told me to get some of this Sinatra Select.
Oh, you got some?
I'm thinking about going ahead.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, well, we can do both.
So we can do both. Are we doing that again? You remember, we got VIP, so it's open bar.
Oh, yeah. You remember we went to the wrong bar at first? Yeah. We paid. She was like, no. That's y'all ball over there. And also, like Roger said, make sure you download Inspire You On Air and Contentville. Check us out. We're there Mondays every day at 8 mm-hmm. p.m. Central.
Every Monday at 8.
Yes, yep. 8 p.m. Yeah, so make sure you check us out there as well as the other podcast platforms. The only thing I have, man, is I'm happy to hear that 2 Chainz is doing better. 2 Chainz was in a very bad accident last week in Miami during Art Basel. He was rear-ended, taken to the hospital, but he's out. He's back home, and he's thanking God and counting his blessings. It could have been a whole lot worse. So it's just kind of, you know, these entertainers – we usually only know them for their entertainment, but you know, they're at the end of the day, they're regular people. So I'm sure that was quite a scare for him, and just glad that he is doing better. That's all I got.
Well, I'm with you. Thank you. So I'm not going to go too much on Contentville or Inspire You On Air, because you brothers have said pretty much everything that needs to be said. But I will highlight what I said again about the Sneaker Ball. VIP. Oh, it doesn't matter. Tickets are sold out. But I was going to reiterate, open bar. So it is what it is. But a couple of things. This weekend was my birthday. Past Tuesday was my birthday. We're recording on a Thursday night. My mom is up here. So she's been up here for the last couple of days. So it's just awesome to get to spend time with her. She's going to be up here for a couple of weeks. This is the longest I've spent with my mom since summer 2000, right? I'm excited. It's just beautiful to see her and the grandkids and my wife and everybody getting along. That's been the highlight. So that was my birthday gift. Secondly, congrats to our lamplighters, our 6th class, 32 Sons of the Village. They will be getting inducted this upcoming Saturday, December 16th. So congrats to you guys. I'm going to put it out there. Hopefully by the time the show airs on Monday, FAMU will be the... I'm not going to jinx this. But we have a big game coming up this weekend. Between Howard, they're calling it the Bougie Bowl. It's supposed to be going down. The Lamplighters, lucky I love them, because I do want to be in Atlanta, because this weekend's going to be epic. I don't think HBCU football seen anything like this in the recent history. So with that being said, 3 Brothers No Sense, 6 Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.